This is the Funville 9, driven by AAA, the official podcast of the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Here's your host, Trey Wilson.
Well, we've got a fun conversation for y'all today. I got a chance to sit down with Joe Panic, former Richmond Flying Squirrel, played here for the Squirrels in 2013. Of course, a 2014 World Series champion with the Giants, a Gold Glove winner, an All-Star. And for the first time in the history of the Flying Squirrels, we were able to bring back a former player to throw out the ceremonial first pitch for that sellout crowd on opening night this past Tuesday. It's been great to see Joe around the ballpark over the last few days. He's now working as one of those roving instructors with the San Francisco Giants. He came back for a little bit last year. He was working with the guys down at spring training at Papago back in March. And this week he's been here not just throwing out that ceremonial first pitch, but also doing some work with the Flying Squirrels infielders and hitters, et cetera. You know, Joe Panic was a big-time prospect when he got to Richmond in 2013. Ended up debuting, of course, in the major leagues with the San Francisco Giants the next year. And here at the Diamond, he's even got there's a big mural of him and Brandon Crawford right where the players enter down the side of the stadium. It's a little funny. He has to walk right through under his own face every day. I think that took a little adjusting for him the first time that he came back to town. We talked about that. We talked about his time playing here in Richmond, the ceremonial first pitch that he threw out for the home opener on Tuesday night, the work that he's doing with the players now as he travels around throughout the minor league affiliates of the Giants throughout the season. And it was a good chat. It's always good to see Joe Panic. And again, first time that the Squirrels have been able to bring back a former player now that the team has been around for, you know, a decade and a half. Some of those guys are starting to transition into their post-playing career roles, and hopefully Joe will be the first of many that we get to bring back here to Richmond and recognize. Well, here's my conversation with former Richmond Flying Squirrel and World Series champion with the San Francisco Giants, Joe Panic. Getting a chance to sit down today with Joe Panic, and it's been so fun to see you back here. Second time back since when you played here. And this time, something we've never gotten to do before, and that's bring back a former Flying Squirrel to throw out the ceremonial first pitch for opening night. We've been excited about this for a long time. We've heard from a lot of people who were excited about it for a while. How cool was that for you to go out there and get recognized at one of the stops in your path to your major league career?
Yeah, it was special. Kind of surreal thinking, first off, that you've gotten to the point in your career and life where you're throwing out first pitches now, not actually on the dirt playing the game, but this Richmond was one of the special places in my journey, and it's definitely special coming back here, seeing your face up on the stadium, and you know, just walking back out onto the field and having fans that have watched you play before just cheering for you again. You know, the ovation I got was great, and like I said, Richmond was one of the special places for me, and very fond memories of here. Now to be recognized years later, it was really cool.
Yeah, it is a little bit. I'm sure it's a little strange the first time you come back last year, and there's a big mural, probably like 20 feet tall, of you and Crawford's face, right where you have to walk in every day. But this is there have been some great players who have come through here, and you know, you going on and winning that World Series in 2014. It's developed a Giants fan base a little bit here in Richmond, because these fans who have – there are a couple of Giants fans here from before the Squirrels were here, but, you know, they follow you guys when you're coming through here and the success that you guys had. So did you have any fans coming up telling you stories? Hey, I enjoyed watching you here in Richmond, and it was so fun to watch you once you went through here and went on to have your major league career?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely the fans that have been around and been huge Squirrels fans for a while. They came up to me, you know, the first night and just kind of talking with me about kind of going down memory lane and stuff. But yeah, you've got fans here, you know, they get to see guys that are very close to the major leagues and, you know, in Double A, the Eastern League. I mean, I know last year with the Giants, we've had more than a few guys go, you know, from here in April, May, and then they go straight to Sacramento, Triple A, then straight up. So there's definitely going to be a more and more wave of future Squirrels going up to the big club. And it's definitely, you know, for the fans here, it's definitely kind of special for them to see.
You know, you mentioned a moment ago that Richmond was a special place that you played when you were coming up the ladder. And I know you've had a chance this week to catch up with people like Parney, who obviously makes an impact on everybody he meets in this game and has for 3.5 decades. But you're not alone in that thought. And, you know, I came here for a reason. This is a special place in minor league baseball. But for you, looking back at your time here in 2013, what stands out that made it such a special place for you to play when you were coming up?
I think in minor league baseball, you go to a lot of different towns, a lot of different stadiums throughout America, and you really appreciate the places that you go to where, honestly, the fans make the experience. The front office here, you know, Parney and everybody, you know, the day-out operations people, they help set the tone, set the atmosphere, but it's the fans, it's the atmosphere that you get, you know, on a Tuesday night in June, where it's, you know, people might have better things to do with their lives, but, you know, there's, you know, 7,000-8,000 fans, you know, cheering for you. You really appreciate it as you move along, because there'll be places where you don't get 1,000 people mm-hmm. in a night, and it's, you could hear the announcers, you know, behind home plate telling you, telling people you're an 0-for-20 slump and stuff. So coming here and really experiencing the fan atmosphere, that's what makes it really that special.
Yeah, one of the guys mentioned last weekend before we got here that, you know, he asked you about playing in Richmond when you were coming up last year and the noise and some of that, and he was going, how does it compare to the major leagues? And obviously, you know, when it's 30,000 people in a stadium, it's a little different, especially in the World Series, but there aren't a lot of places in the minor leagues where you get kind of that roar with some of those crowds. So, you know, for you coming up playing through high school and college and then coming up through the lower levels of the minors, was this the first place you really got to experience kind of that, not quite to that big league level, but that energy in the stadium and that crowd noise and things like that?
For sure. I went to school at St. John's in Queens, so we didn't really have a great, attendance record there. So, and then going through the lower levels in the minor leagues, those stadiums, they hold maybe a couple thousand at most. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you come here and it's, you know, you have, like I said, 8,000-10,000, whatever it holds. And, I mean, shoot, just the past couple nights, you know, it gets loud. You kind of forget however they built the stadium, whatever it is, it can get loud here. And obviously, when you get to the major leagues and it's, you know, you have the three levels, it's a totally different ball game, literally. But this was the first place where you're like, oh, wow, like on pop-ups or, you know, something happens, you can't hear yourself think.
You know, looking back at when you got here, climbing up the ladder, Double-A is a big jump. And it was in 2013. It is in 2024. So for you coming to Richmond as a guy who had a lot of expectations at that time and a little bit of fanfare, what was your adjustment like coming from San Jose when it was high A back then up to Richmond? And back then, a lot of times you'd go year by year, and that's how you went, you know, 2012 in San Jose, full year in 2013 in Richmond.
Yeah, when I came here in 2013, there was a couple adjustments. First off, the pitching was, they always said the single A to double A is the biggest jump, and to me it was too, because I talk with the hitters now about it. As you go up levels, the pitchers make fewer mistakes. And then from an A ball, maybe the velocity and the pitches might not be there. But once you get to double A, there's more velocity, better breaking pitches, and pitchers don't make as many mistakes. So you really have to, the talent alone couldn't just get you by. So I really had to learn game planning approaches. And then the other part of the game, I learned actually had to play second base. So I played shortstop in San Jose, which was high at the time. And then that off season afterwards, the Giants won the World Series in 2012, and Brandon Crawford had a phenomenal year playing shortstop. And that off season, they're like, hey, we're going to move you from short to second. I'm like, sounds great. So a lot of learning. I definitely learned a lot about myself, good and bad too, like in how to handle situations. I really felt like I grew up here. So definitely a big part of my development as a player.
Well, you know, that middle infield combination for years was a lot of fun to watch the two of you up the middle. And, of course, you know, turning some relatively famous plays like in the 2014 World Series. But there's one that's pretty famous here. Ending a game against Trenton, you had a y'all turned a triple play to end the game that you started. Do you remember that play? I know it's been a few years ago now, but it's not often you end a game with a triple play.
I mean, Parney has reminded me a few times about it. To be honest with you, I don't remember the exact details, but I vaguely do remember the triple play. I wish I could tell you exactly what happened, but like I said, I just can't quite remember.
Well, something I thought that stood out about your time in 2013, something we don't really see a lot of in the major leagues these days, and certainly in the minor leagues, was you played 137 games, I think, in a 142-game season. You were out there pretty much every day, and that was kind of something that you carried on for a while after that. How important was you to be in that time when you're coming up in the minors to be a guy who was going to be on the field every day, especially in the old minor league travel structure? That was, you know, tough, one bus, you know, overnight trips, things like that. That had to be a test on your endurance a little bit.
That was something that coming through the minor leagues, the farm director and just organizational kind of philosophy was they wanted you to get as many at-bats as possible. They felt that the more at-bats you got, the quicker your development could be. And also, too, for myself, I took pride on taking care of my body. And listen, injuries happen over the course of your career. But when I was younger, I really took pride in, you know, learning how to be able to play tired, learning how to play when your body might not be feeling well. And, it was just something that, again, as an organization, I was like, all right, you're going to learn how to play. You're going to learn to play every day, because hopefully the goal is when you get up to the major leagues, you're an everyday player. And if you're an everyday player, that means you're doing something well, and we're going to want you out there for 162 games, which never got to do that. But it's just something where you take pride in being available day in, day out.
Yeah, it's definitely something that these days with, you know, platoon matchups and things like that, there's a place for the way the game is now, but you don't see as much of that. Even here, you know, guys playing 130-plus games in a season. So now you're in a role with the Giants where you're traveling around a little bit. You're out at Papago during spring training with the minor leaguers. You travel around to the different affiliates. How did that opportunity come to be over the last couple of years? And what are you out here working on when you're talking with some of these young players who are trying to get to where you were?
Yeah, so just talking with Ryan Vogelsong, he was in this role as like a special assistant roving instructor type role, which is allows you to stay in the game, which when you're done playing the game, it doesn't leave you. The competitive drive, you just miss being out on the field. And just talking with him, he told me about this, you know, role that he was in, and you know, he gave me Kyle Haynes' number, and he was like, hey, just reach out to him. You know, I remember Kyle from when he was, you know, managing with the Giants and whatnot, and it was just something like talking with Kyle and like, listen, Kyle, you know, I still have a passion for this game. Anything I could do, I love, you know, my time with the Giants, and my heart still bleeds, you know, black and orange. So just one of those things where Kyle's like, hey, come out to spring training, you know, and then we'll kind of take it from there. And for me, I've truly enjoyed it, just getting to work with not only infielders now, but now kind of doing some more on the hitting side too, and just talking with kids and, you know, talking about approach and not just all like the swing mechanics, because, you know, we have great coaches, but just talking with guys about the game and, you know, sharing experiences and helping them on the field, off the field, what's going on between the ears. I feel like that's such a big part of the game that, you know, that I really enjoy talking about.
Well, I know that these guys kind of soak that in, and it means a lot to be able to have guys who've been where they want to be would come and bring some of that knowledge that they're able to impart. So especially with dynamic group of infielders like we've got here in Richmond right now. Joe Panic, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to chat. Hope you enjoy the rest of your stay back in Richmond, and hopefully we'll see you somewhere again down the road.
Thank you. I appreciate it.